That last summer, the kitchen reeked of pickling spice, aniseed, and juniper berries. Watermelon jam, lavender jellies, and crystallized fennel cooled on the pantry shelves. Jars with mango pickles and pickled onions, an old habit from his days in London, were set aside in the wine cellar to cure. Honeycombs were stacked in bowls on the sideboard, draining, waiting to be melted into candles or mixed with olive oil and pressed into soaps. Thunderstorms were canned along with plum jam. Memories seeped into the pine floorboards. Tears turned to sweat. Escoffier didn't notice. He was too busy writing his memoirs. Lushness had returned to Monte Carlo and, surprisingly, to La Villa Fernand. Monte Carlo was an island of rock floating on the pristine blue waters of Côte d'Azur, leaning into Provence. Embroidered with bougainvillea-covered mansions and villas, it was a fortress, a magical confection, a surreal wedding cake topped with gilded casinos, hotels, and cafes that lit up the night, seemingly spun from sugar and wayward stars. La Villa Fernand Escoffier's grand stone manor house curved along its winding coast. Every evening, clouds crawled over the horizon and pushed the pink sun down into the blinding noise of blue that was the sea. Quiet, quiet, he would think, and keep writing. At sunset, Madame Escoffier instructed the staff to pull back the curtains and throw open the windows to capture the night air. Black currant pies, tart and sweet, often warmed the cool evenings. The sound of crashing waves against the shore lulled the gaggles of grandchildren, great-grandchildren, grandnieces and grandnephews, their names now interchangeable to Madame and Monsieur Escoffier, to sleep in the evenings, and woke them in the mornings. The air swirled with the gales of laughter. But it was all just noise to him, made it difficult to think. Every morning Escoffier wished for evening to come again. The only time he could concentrate was when the house finally fell silent. In that final year, every triumph was hard won. The 1st of May had brought an unseasonable heat. Water spouts spun like ballroom dancers across the brilliant sea, but never touched ground. Fruit withered on the vine. When the rains finally came, the earth cracked open and drank them whole. Madame Escoffier found herself dreaming of the first days of their marriage. "Close your eyes," he had said to her. "Food demands complete submission." And then he placed a perfect scallop in her mouth. "Do you taste the sea?" Delphine did. Not just the salt of the sea, but the very air of the moment that the shell was pulled from the sand. "A storm, perhaps. There is a dark edge to the sweetness of the meat. What do you taste?" "The hand of God." This was not surprising. He was, after all, a devout Catholic. Before Delphine married Escoffier, food was bothersome. A piece of toast, an egg, a handful of greens, it made no difference to her. All she wanted was to write her poetry and be exempt from the foolishness of the world. Love, motherhood, marriage, they all filled her with disdain. A woman only needs herself to survive. Her father apparently had other ideas, or at least that was to be assumed. He used her hand in marriage as a stake during his weekly billiards game. "You lost me?" "Escoffier played as a man possessed by love," Paul Defis told his daughter. It seemed impossible. Her father was a very good billiards player. For a moment, Delphine thought she had misheard him. He rarely lost this weekly game, and when he did, he always complained that Escoffier had an unfair advantage. "He never has to bend over to sight the cue." It was unkind, but accurate. Escoffier was an exceedingly small man. "Is this some sort of a joke?" she asked. "It is the perfect love story, is it not?" her father said, hoping for forgiveness. It was not. Delphine had only met Escoffier a handful of times, and always in the company of her father. They were nearly strangers. How could this happen? It was quite simple. He said, "Today I shall win." And I said, "What will you bet?" And he said, anything you want for the hand of your daughter in marriage. I don't understand. I have to admit that I was very partial to the idea of Escoffier's bet. He's such a very talented chef. How could I refuse? A weekly dinner from him would have been heaven. I truly don't understand. But she did. It was obvious. Delphine was not unattractive. She had a sturdy beauty with a straightforwardness that suggested an adventurous spirit. And yet her prospects for marriage had been slim. Too independent, her father told her, even though he admired the spirit in her. She was, after all, a respected poet and writer. Her independence is what made her successful, fearless even. And yet, in the 19th century, fearlessness was not a desired trait in a wife.